chatting it up together as usual, you and I, midweek Wednesday style, June the 26th, 2024, right here on Connecticut Today. I wondered out loud to start the show if the big Thursday night presidential debate will really change that many minds or affect that many undecided voters. I was also joined by Greenwich Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio regarding a controversial last-minute addition to an omnibus bill voted on in a special legislative session at the state capitol.
So how excited are you getting? It's still about a day and change away. Yes, the big debate coming up tomorrow night. It's debate night 2024, the first of two debates between Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. Here's what I wanted to open with today, and I find this fascinating. Every 4 years when we go through this presidential debate, a vice presidential debate, and maybe this year is different. I don't know. Maybe I keep telling myself, well, maybe this year will be different. Why would it be different? Well, both guys are up there. One's just turned 78. One's, is Joe Biden 82 yet? 81 or 82, whatever. I forget. All these numbers confuse me. But is this one going to matter more? Because here's the question I have for you. And let's start off. Let's start off with this. Let's skip down the radio path on this today at 333-9422-203-333-9422-333-WICC. Is anything that Donald Trump or Joe Biden says coming up tomorrow night, is any of this going to matter? Honestly, now, supposedly the numbers say, well, there's X amount of people that are going to make their final decision based on what they see in the debate tomorrow night. Really? After 2016 race and the 2020 race and the 2024 race coming up this November, and everything that's gone on with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who is still undecided? Is anybody undecided? Now, that's half rhetorical. Yeah, I guess there are some people undecided. But at this point in the race, what are people going to be watching for tomorrow night? Now, they expect this could quite possibly be the most watched debate on a national scale ever. Seriously. I don't know what the record is. I'd have to look that up. I'll pull that up for you before we get out of here today at 6. But who is actually watching this that doesn't have their minds made up yet to the point where the debate is going to make a difference? Now, are there still undecided people? Yeah. Of course there are. We all know people that we talk to, whether we're, you know, voting Democrat or voting Republican, left or right, up or down, progressive or conservative. And, you know, it comes up in conversation. Hey, what do you think of so-and-so in the race? Well, I'm not too sure. You're not sure. So, but yeah, there are people around that are not sure. But are they going to make their minds up based on tomorrow night? See, that's the thing that's fascinating me. To me, that's the fascinating thing about this. Is this really going to be the defining thing for people? Now, it might be, as I said a couple of seconds ago, I think it might be for people who just want to hear Joe Biden again. You know what you're getting with Trump. He really hasn't stopped talking even to and through the hush money trial. You don't hear an awful lot from Joe Biden. You don't hear really jousting with other people or talking to members of the press. He doesn't do that. And what he does, you know, unfortunately, like I say, we're all getting old by day, second by second, hour by hour. We're all getting old. So is it a scenario for you if you are in any way, shape, or form, if you're undecided, that you're just watching this and you're going to base this on what Joe Biden's going to do? Hey, Biden looked pretty good. I think I'll vote for him. I think I'll vote for him, you might say. Hey, he looked pretty good. This might be you late Thursday night, early overnight Friday morning, or with your cohorts, your compadres at work or at school or whatever on Friday. You may be saying, hey, you know what? Biden wasn't half bad last night. Yeah, they can just keep him standing up, keep him upright, like you want your quarterback to be. Keep him upright. We'll go for that. Or do you think that you may be of the camp, if in fact you are in any way, shape, or form undecided here, and saying, eh, I watched it last night. Listen, Trump wasn't great, but Biden was a little slow for me. I find that fascinating because I don't think anybody watching this tomorrow night is really, when you come right down to it, is really undecided. I think whether you're a Trump person or not a Trump person or a Biden person or not a Biden person, I think you're looking for what they call confirmation bias, right? It's why conservatives love Fox and Newsmax. Liberals generally lean MSNBC and sometimes CNN. We all want confirmation biases, or we all want to be told by powers bigger than us, yeah, you're right. You're okay. It's the other studons, the other folks over there that don't have it right. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Are you buying this as the pivotal moment? I'm reading this. Oh, it's a pivotal moment in the campaign. Well, maybe it is because it's so early. See, that's another thing, too. And we've talked about this. Is the June timing in place to give Joe Biden a graceful way to back out? I don't know. We can talk about that later on if you want, or in the weeks to come. But I'm wondering here, and I'm awash in all this stuff before we came on today, and I'm saying to myself, geez, is this going to be a major pointer? Because what happens, for example, if Joe Biden's really good tomorrow night and Donald Trump stinks, and then in the next debate, which is what, September something, in the next debate, Trump is A1 on his game, he's glib, he's funny, and Biden is half stunod, honestly. So will that one then be the most pivotal debate in American history? Maybe. I don't know. You don't know how these things are going to shake out. We'll have coverage for it with experts coming up tomorrow, coming up on Friday. We'll do a pregame show, a postgame show, and a postmortem. But what are you thinking about this? And by the way, are you of the school that you may not even watch it? Like, I don't care. I've made up my mind. Yeah, but what if Trump starts coming up with gibberish? I don't care. I'm not voting for Biden. Eh? Or the other way around. Hey, Biden's my guy. He's a little slow on the uptake, but nah, never voting for Trump. This is going to be really interesting. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Do debates ever make a real difference? Now, you can bury yourself by saying something that's, poor old Gerald Ford there in his comment about how the people of Poland were or were not oppressed by Soviet rule. That didn't go over too well. Ronald Reagan's joke did about not letting his opponent's youth or inexperience, when he pointed that at Fritz Mondale, and even Walter Mondale laughed about that one. It was a pretty good line. But as you get ready tomorrow night, is this going to be just like a show? Is this just like a boxing match? But you say to yourself, even though he or she lost the match, I know who the better fighter is. Very interesting. Really interesting. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Henry's with us. Henry, you're going to have your snacks and your drinks all set for the big debate tomorrow night?
Well, I wasn't going to comment, but you brought up a scenario a minute or two ago that, you know, what happens if one guy stinks and the other guy is good?
Yeah.
When the debate, whatever Trump says after the debate to his base, whatever he says is the reason why. come on, how much do you got to see?
And he'll say he was great. He'll say he was great. I was great last night.
Well, he'll say something. He'll say something that will and his base, because this is what he thinks of his base. Now, I saw this live last night. I don't know if you did. I don't know where was he. Where was he campaigning?
Yeah, he was out somewhere last night. Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking for 2 hours, and he was, and I like to listen to just to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah.
One of them was, "Have you seen the price of bacon, folks?" and everybody knows the price of bacon is doubled. Everybody knows that. But he had the nerve to say to his base, "This is what he thinks of his base.
Yeah.
This is how he knows how stupid they are." He says, "My wife said to me, I said to my wife, boy, I can go for some bacon and eggs." And she said, we can't have that. We don't have any bacon. He says, well, why not? He says, she told me it's too expensive.
Did he really do that?
All you got to do is look it up. He said it last night. But
all
that's
right.
What he thinks of his base.
Oh,
you understand?
My God. Wait, Henry.
He thinks of his
base. You don't think that Donald and Melania go shopping for bacon?
I know, but why would he say that to his base and get cheered for it?
Well, he's trying to be, you know how
he
works.
Knows that, no, he was trying to get that minority kind of vote, people that buy bacon.
Yeah, well.
But he's got the nerve to say to them that whatever his wife's name is.
Melania.
That said, oh, no, we don't have any bacon.
Well.
And I said to her, why not? And she says, it's too expensive.
Okay.
Okay. Now, just swallow it after a while. And why vote at all?
Oh,
why
come on. No.
You got to vote.
Thanks, Henry. Henry's not happy. See, I never, I don't, and I understand people are frustrated. I get it. But here's the thing. You get frustrated at the people you don't like in government because not enough people vote. I mean, look at the cycle we went through for the primaries. The municipal primaries, when the heck was that, August, September? It's all a blur. What, 18% of people in Hartford voted, 17 or 18%? What was the turnout in Bridgeport of the 18 rounds of voting? Joe Ganim and John Gomes, we have to do this again? What was the turnout there, 20, 21, 22%? Maybe New Haven tickled in at under 21%. Well, you know, listen. If you don't vote, and, you know, a lot of people feel the way Henry does, hey, what's the use in voting? Well, that's the vortex, that, you know, the swirling around the bowl, the porcelain bowl. You know, you get caught in that, and eventually it all goes down. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Are you genuinely, or genuine, are you genuinely excited about this big debate coming up tomorrow night in June? Who does these things in June? Unless you're trying to do a little test run and say, well, you know who wasn't real good. Maybe we can get him to Amscray and nominate somebody. I don't know. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And if you are going to watch the debate, what time does it start? 9, I think? 8, 9, whatever it is. I got to look that up. What would be your food and beverage of choice? In other words, you know, a lot of people, they watch Sunday football. They may have just got done watching the Stanley Cup Finals in hockey, or the NBA Finals in the NBA, or, you know, tonight watching Game 2 of the Yankees sucking against the Mets. You know, what's your food of choice for debate night? Are you a pigs in a blanket person? Oh, that's good. That makes the talk about the economy go down even better. And what about your beverage? An adult beverage or not? One of our go-to guys to explain what's going on at the state capitol, Ryan Fazio, Republican State Senate member from Greenwich, on what was supposed to be and what a lot of us were told in the media was going to be just a formality session. But then we see something pop up about a vote that may allow a bid for the possible purchase and or sale of a major water utility company. And, you know, customers start seeing that and they go, oh. So Ryan Fazio is here. Ryan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. And I was reading some, you know, things, comments you made and what people told me and what's in some of the media here. First of all, Ryan, explain to my listeners here what they may be seeing or hearing about this. And was this supposed to happen or not? So fill us in.
So there's a special session today of the legislature, which is normally convened about fixes on specific topics. But today, what we ultimately voted on was a 140-page omnibus bill with major policy changes across an array of topics. And some of them really have not been publicly discussed just until the last couple of days. I mean, the major issue, the probably the most consequential policy decision that was made was an issue that was only broke 3 days ago in the Connecticut Mirror, an online newspaper in Hartford,
yeah,
about giving the Connecticut Water Authority, a public kind of water utility in the state, authority to buy the Aquarian Water Company, which is probably what most of your listeners and my constituents have as their water service.
Yeah,
that's not allowed in the Connecticut Water Authority's charter currently. And so this legislation will allow them to bid to buy Aquarion, which could have major economic effects that just have not been discussed at all up until 3 days ago. It's a billion-dollar policy decision with almost no public input or analysis or debate until today when it was voted on.
So the operative question here, Ryan, and I'm sure you were asking around, and I was reading this today, my eyes rolling back in my head, who puts this in an omnibus bill, and why do it this way now, or maybe not consider it either in the previous session or the session coming up in 2025? Because again, Ryan, this is the kind of thing, and I know you'll agree with me on this, people see this isn't 1970 anymore. You know, the internet exists, and the common person can read about this at the dinner table that kind of makes their eyes roll back in their head. Where did this come from?
Well, you know, at a high level, this comes from the fact that Eversource, which is the parent company of Aquarian Water Company, is looking to sell Aquarion, its water subsidiary. And obviously, Eversource wants as many people bidding to buy the business as possible, because that means they'll get a higher return for their investors. You know, whether or not a Connecticut kind of nonprofit water utility should be one of the entities bidding for it is an open question. What it'll do to customers' rates, water rates that we all pay every month, what it'll do for service is an open question. But it's a question that should be answered over months after public input hearings and debate and consideration.
That was my point. In other words, why wasn't this taken up? And I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but why wasn't this taken up in the regular legislative process that you and I talk about all the time? And yet it made its way into this omnibus bill. Like, who did that? Do we know who did that? Are they keeping quiet? How does this work?
Well, I think reporters will kind of unearth more of this. You know, two points that I'll add to that is one, the Water Authority did say to me that they had considered, you know, they considered this months ago, actual process of buying, but they found out that they need to make the legislative change in order to bid into the business, and that you know, that's all well and good, but so why wasn't it discussed months ago as a policy change? That's one problem. You know, maybe they didn't know the legislative process. They're not legislators. That's totally fine. But so that is a problem, that it has been an open question since the winter about them bidding for the business, and there was no policy proposal, legislative proposal to accompany it. But ultimately, these special session, you know, bills are written and decided by the senior leadership of the legislature and the majority party. So the bill had four names as introducers and the speaker and the Senate president. So the leadership, the most senior elected officials of the majority party ultimately decide what's in the 140-page bill. This is not a case where kind of mid-level committee chairman of the Energy Committee or anywhere else on either party, we're really deeply consulted on the issue in question. So this was a top-down imposition. This wasn't a bottom-up legislative proposal.
All right, and depending upon where that goes, as you say, Ryan, and the guest is Ryan Fazio, Republican State Senate member from Greenwich, you know, that's a separate issue. So you're right, two distinctive issues, and you and I both know, Ryan, the way Hartford works, we'll find out in a few days who put that in there. But as you say, well, you know, we will. The second part of this is really probably of more concern to the average person is if a sale like this goes through, no matter what the regulators say, you know how this usually works, Ryan, and again, I'm not going to say that this will happen, but again, do you think there's, at least at the outset, some concern or maybe some healthy eyeballing of this that consumers in your district and all around Connecticut should have?
Absolutely. I mentioned on the Senate floor that the Office of Consumer Counsel did an initial analysis on the different water rates paid by similar consumers or similar households in different jurisdictions. And Aquarian, you know, for someone who's using 8,000 gallons a month, the analysis said that in Aquarian's district, in a place like Stamford, mm-hmm. you're probably paying $40 a month in your water bill.
Okay.
But in the Connecticut Water Authority, which is mostly the New Haven area, they're paying $62. And so those rates are likely to come closer together to be equalized if all of the assets are under a single kind of corporate structure, the parent corporate structure, in this case, the Water Authority. And so that means potentially you could see $20 a month increase, substantial increases in current Aquarian customers, which over the course of a year is $270 mm-hmm. if they completely equalize. So I'm very concerned about the upward pressure this could mean for customers in Fairfield County, especially who have Aquarian as their current company. Now, maybe it doesn't go up that much. Maybe it goes up by even more. We just don't know. I was introduced to this policy 3 days ago because of a breaking news article. So how am I supposed to vote on it? And I'm the ranking member of the Energy and Technology Committee, which is up cognizance for these issues. So it's very disappointing. I said on the Senate floor, it stinks. The process was bad. We need a transparent, open legislative process to make the best policy.
Brian, I got to tell you, and thanks for joining us. These are the times, and you know, I've been approached over the years because of my visibility doing this. Hey, you know, would you ever, there's an open house seat. And this is the exact thing, Ryan, that would make my head explode. God bless you to sit there and bite your lip and say it stinks. I don't know how you do this, Ryan. I don't know how, and you're a business person too, but we like to have some sort of order in what we do, right? Whether it's me here, you there, business, politics, and this last minute stuff. God bless you, because I would be literally, you hear this? I'd be banging my head on the desk if that was me. How do you do it? What do you do? You just find the origins of this and go on, right? What else can you do?
Well, you do your best because there's a lot of people counting on us to fight hard in order to make the state a better place. And that means you need people on the watchtower looking out. Whether we can stop everything or not, we got to try our best. And we're fighting for transparency and common sense and bringing people together rather than, you know, one size fits all, you know, party line votes without transparent legislative process to fully examine every policy that's passed for its effects, long-term effects on Connecticut residents who want to see a lower cost of living, who want to see a government that works for them, who wants to see transparency and local democracy. All these things are worth fighting for. And even though it's difficult to do so, we can't give up.
Republican State Senate member Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. Ryan, thanks. Keep up the good fight. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Ryan Fazio there.